on WGBB AM 1240, Dave's Gone By. That's a show that's been on here for over 5 years now. Dave's Gone By started in October 2002, and generally it's about talk radio and comedy. And it's I do some sketches, there's sometimes some novelty songs, some comedy characters, and also just in the daily goings-on of my life or commenting on what's going on out there. It's usually in sort of a zany, funny, offbeat way. But also, we've had the time to talk to artists and musicians and directors and actors and writers and people like that. And then those can be kind of fun interviews, too, but they can also be a little serious. And there are times when we have really legendary, cool, pretty important people if you're into that musical genre. I mean, if you like 1950s music, we interviewed Neil Sedaka. If you're into the folk music, as I have been for many, many years, then, my gosh, I was so proud to be talking to people like Tom Paxton and Christine Lavin. If you're into more of the folk pop-oriented stuff, I've talked to Jill Sobule and the widow of Warren Zevon, talking about his life. And so that's the genre that we're going to be in tonight when I talk to Jane Sibbery, a very, very interesting person, especially because she's no longer Jane Sibbery. She decided about 2 years ago now, I think, that she didn't, you know, she'd gone as far as she could with her real name, with her real persona, with the life that she had set up as a singer-songwriter and painter, and also as the owner, the creator of her own record company, because she had been on the Warner Reprise label for a bit, and then a subsidiary of Reprise, and you know how the record businesses and the music businesses, she decided, hey, I'm going to do my own label. Let me do it myself. And she did for, I guess, about over a decade. She has Sheba Records. But the problem was, when you're chief cook and bottle washer of that kind of company, and you're the one, you know, making sure everything's in stock, and you're the one making sure the discs are in the jewel cases, and you're the one dealing with the T-shirts and sending things off to, you know, Keokuk and to Minnesota, you're also still the one who's supposed to be out there writing songs and taking the time and opening your head to be creative. It's obviously the problem that every artist has. How much time do you put into making the art versus how much time do you put into promoting yourself to getting the art out there and to making money? And so she found that she was just spending so much time on the artifice of art, of her work, and the peripherals of it, that she decided to give it up. And she gave up more and more, and she started auctioning off pretty much everything she had. She didn't just give it away. She sold it. She auctioned stuff so that she could live a much simpler life, and a life that could concentrate on just living and being every day and working and doing what she does. She even sold her house and lives peripatetically in with friends or in hotels. You know, not like she's sleeping on park benches. We're not quite going there. You know, she's doing all right. But the point is, she's not tied down, and she's not tied down to stuff. And it isn't just a particularly, like, religious things, like she's joined some monastic order. She's still herself, but she's just a different version, a freer version, assumedly, hopefully, of herself. And she even changed her name. So that Jane Sibbery is now called Issa, I-S-S-A. And if you want to find out about her music, you go to issalight.com, I-S-S-A, light, L-I-G-H-T, .com, where she still has her record company. It's just all online, all digital. And one of the other things I'll be asking her about tonight at 11 on Dave's Gone By is her special way of doing stuff where people download her songs online, because she beat Radiohead by about 2 years, apparently. You know that great idea we were all reading about a year ago where Radiohead released their latest album just digitally, and they released it and allowed people, consumers, to pay what they wanted for the album or per song. It wasn't just like, pay 99 cents, get the song. Pay $1.99, whatever, get the song. No. They said, well, yeah, you can get a special disc box and pay this, and et cetera. Or you can pay by the song or pay, download them all and pay what you want. Pay what you feel the song is worth. and everybody in the recording industry look to this, because it was this new idea of a business model, a concept, because obviously the whole way recorded music and the transfer of music from the artists and the labels to the people has been through a sea change over the past 10 years, and it's still, we still don't know where it really is going to fall out, how it's all going to shake out in the era of iPods and all that. It's still like, okay, is this digital thing going to work? You know, does the artist effectively cut out the middleman if there's no more labels, and then make enough money and get their stuff out enough to promote themselves and get the excitement out so that people actually want to buy it or go see them in concert and stuff without the label, or even if there is a label that's gathering all these artists together, can it really work with people just downloading? And then Radiohead coming along and saying, okay, what if we let the consumer decide? We make enough money, so if they want to pay $1 per song, fantastic. If they want to, you know, they love us and they want to pay $2 per song, God bless them. If they want to pay 25 cents a song or nothing, well, we'll deal with that too. Let's see how many people fall into each category. And the thing is, Jane Siberry thought of this and was doing this 2 years before Radiohead was. And of course, she's not perhaps up there of their status or name level. But it is a pretty major artist in the sense of the independent Joni Mitchell-y, Sarah McLachlan-y kind of songwriter and performer. So there should have been some more eyes on what she was doing. And according to her, this pricing plan that she instituted has been working, and that she actually makes a little more money than she would have had she just instituted, like, 99 cents per song, that's it, take it or leave it. Apparently, some people actually pay more than the suggested rate that she has on there to pay. They love her so much, they want to keep her doing what she's doing. They want to make sure that she has the money to tour so they can go see her. Because she is quite... I saw her once, years ago, at the Bottom Line, and it was a really terrific performance. And to tell you just how... almost out there is the phrase I'm going to use, but I don't mean out there like weird, like Klaus Neumann or some really insane new wave punky performer. I mean out there as far as technologically and the idea of what modern concert performance is. It was the first time I'd seen somebody using those mics that, in fact, her standing there with a hand microphone, she had this little headset thing that came in front of her mouth, and she would talk into that. And it was new then. I mean, we're talking about 15 years ago at least, to see that. And to see that it was kind of odd looking at first, and a little space age. But at the same time, she had her hands free. She didn't have to walk around with a microphone. She wasn't tied to that microphone stand the way stand-up comics used to be, you know, or even singers. And then it was only a couple of years later that Broadway musicals started gluing those little weird things under people's wigs. You know, when you see a Broadway show, musical, or sometimes even play, and you look at people's foreheads, and they've got this little tumor, a little black rectangle that's coming out just above their foreheads and under their hair. Well, it's a microphone, and, you know, that came after. So she was at the forefront of all of that kind of stuff. So there's just so much to talk about with Issa, formerly known as Jane Siberry, and we're going to do that tonight on Dave's Gone By from 11 to midnight. Also, we'll make a little bit of time, if there's time, for Inside Broadway, which looks at the stages of New York, and I think I'm reviewing something tonight. I'm reviewing the Broadway show August Osage County, which very immediately, as soon as the reviews came out, became kind of the favorite for both the Pulitzer Prize and the Tony Award for Best Play this year. Is that overstating the case? Are they overrating it? Or is it really, really like the play of the year? Certainly the longest play of the year so far. It's about 3 hours and 25 minutes long. Is it worth the sit? Well, I'm going to let you know tonight on Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By. I also do want to say and give a shout out to my good friend Jeff Goodman. Jeff is usually the co-host on this program, The Little Big Time, but Jeff has been in Thailand for a couple of weeks. I figure he will be back by next week. I figure he's going to get back for the holidays, even though he's Jewish and Hanukkah is over already. But, Jeff, wishing him well. I got one very, very quick email from him just really saying hi. It was kind of a pointless email. Just him saying, hello, I'm alive, and Jeff Goodman. So it was nice to get, but not really any information being conveyed there. It's not like the old days where you just send a teletype and it's like, am fine, stop, send money, stop, Jeff. I mean, it's an email. He could have put pages and pages. But I assume he's rather busy having fun in Thailand. And so missing him on this show, The Little Big Time, and he's often a guest co-host, in fact, on Dave's Gone By, so he'll be back doing that soon as well. Well, anyway, it's 10:55 p.m. Don't have really much more time in this Little Big Time tonight, but I'm urging you, I'm begging you to stay tuned, because really looking forward to Dave's Gone By tonight. And last thing I really want to say is a big, big, big thank you to David Hinckley of the New York Daily News. I don't know if you saw the Daily News yesterday, Saturday, but he was really, really kind to make mention of the fact that last week was the 250th episode of Dave's Gone By. I've been doing it for 5 years, pretty much 50 shows per year, only taking 2 or 3 weeks vacation. So, yeah, it adds up. And so and he unfortunately didn't get it into the paper like last week when we were doing the 250th. So it was a real shock for one of the DJs here, Rob Cole, who does the hockey show just back at 9 o'clock on Sundays. He emailed me yesterday morning and said, hey, you know, congratulations, you're in the Daily News. I was like, what? And really, really grateful. And Hinckley's put the show in the paper before, and sometimes when I've hosted the annual Tony Award show that we do on WGBB, he's mentioned that. Really, you know, just a one-liner thing, but it really means a whole lot. So thank you, Dave, if you happen to be listening. Really, really nice. And I'm going to try and make Dave's Gone By every week the very best show it can be. Well, let me play a little bit more James Sibbery, a.k.a. Issa. This is back when she was Jane Sibbery. It's the opening track on When I Was a Boy, as we enter the temple, as it were, of Issa. Come on, come on. Gimme, let me into your temple. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I see flamingos in a fruit fight!
Yes, well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, on this 251st episode of Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, December 16th, 2007. And yes, I did say 251. First thing I've got to do, very, very big thank you to David Hinckley of the New York Daily News for marking the 250th episode of the show, which was last week. He didn't get into the papers before last week's show, so I wasn't even expecting it. And then another radio host here, Rob Cole, who does the hockey show at 9 o'clock on Sunday nights, emailed me first thing yesterday and said, Dave, by the way, congratulations, you know, you're in the Daily News. I was like, really? Amazing! Especially since it was already after the fact. So I thank so much, first of all, Rob, for alerting me, and David Hinckley of the Daily News for taking that line out and being able to say, you know, congrats for passing the 250th episode of Dave's Gone By. He used it that I have passed the episode, which is kind of interesting. It makes it sound like passing some kind of kidney stone or something. But now most of the shows pass rather delightfully and beautifully, and that's why I still do it after over 5 years here at WGBB Freeport, and still love doing each and every show for all of you. It's comedy, it's talk radio, it's music, it's interviews, and it's going to be really, really special tonight. And I'll explain why in a moment, just as soon as I remind everybody that I could not do this show without my sponsors. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. They are the copy kings of Broadway, and they give you 10% off every copy job. No job too big or small. Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons, your party decorator's ultimate. In other words, if you need, say, balloon archways, if you need centerpieces on any theme, give Jeff a call at 516-797-3229. Area code 516-797-3229. This show is also brought to you by MortgagesRock.com. They are the mortgage masters, but they'll train you to be a mortgage master yourself. You learn the ins and outs of the business of how mortgages are done, because it's mostly paperwork, and you learn it at the website, MortgagesRock.com, teaches you everything you need to know, how you can get loans and earn commission by giving other people loans and financing. MortgagesRock.com. And finally, our other sponsor, the wonderful Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. You can find out more about that at PerformingArtsInsider.com. Huge discount for Dave's Gone By listeners on annual subscriptions. You save like $80 a year. It's pretty amazing. Check it out at PerformingArtsInsider.com. And just a reminder, I always wait until the end of the show to do some of this. So let me get this out of the way now and tell everybody, have you been watching Cablevision of Woodbury, which is Cablevision for most of the people in this listening area, unless you're on the internet? Have you been watching Cablevision Wednesday mornings at 7:30, Channel 20? Have you been seeing Shalom Gamut, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour? Well, if you haven't, you should start, because it's gaining quite a following, and I think it's pretty fun. So everybody, Wednesday mornings, 7:30, Channel 20 on cable. Shalom, damn it. Don't miss it. Okay, what are we doing on tonight's episode of Dave's Gone By? Well, we'll be going inside Broadway with some Broadway theater news, and I'll also be reviewing the big new play, August, Osage County, by Tracy Letts. It's such a big new play that as soon as it opened, with all the reviews coming out, it became the immediate sort of favorite contender for both the Pulitzer Prize and the Tony Award for Best Play this year. So, I'm going to say, and then talk about it a little bit, and do I agree that it's that great? Or maybe not? You'll have to wait and see on Inside Broadway later in the program. But before that, we'll be talking to a really, really major, creative, unique musical artist. Her name used to be Jane Sibbery. She changed it recently to Isa, and she'll, I'm sure, tell us why. Her best-known work is the song Calling All Angels, which you may have heard from her version, or her version with Katie Lang, that has been used, I think, in Six Feet Under. They used it in some other programs. It was the closest thing she's had to a major hit. But she's done some terrific music over the years. And she's changed her entire life in the past 2 or 3 years. So I want to talk about her music. I want to talk about her lifestyle and just about everything. And I'm pretty amazed and hoping I'll get her on the phone as soon as we play a song by her. And with any luck, we'll be talking to Isa, formerly known as Jane Sibbery, tonight on Dave's Gone By. But first, let's do a little commercial business and then hear an Isa song. And when we come back, we'll have Isa in the neighborhood with us. For gosh sakes, I tell you every week not to go away, but this week, by gosh, don't go away. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 2007, I created Shalom Dammit, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour. It's a TV show by Jews, about Jews, and for everybody. It airs Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Cablevision Channel 20. You can also watch episodes on YouTube. Just search under my name, Saul Solomon, or Shalom Dammit. And God saw that it was good, and you'll see, it's great! Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, Inside Broadway, your Broadway guide. Actually, it's off-Broadway, too. It's everything that's happening on the stages of New York, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Having a little trouble getting to Isa, not on the phone, and not sure, hoping that she will call in. I've been trying to reach her, just been leaving messages on her cell phone. So hopefully, A, she remembered, and B, that everything's okay, and C, that we get her on this program. But if not, well, we're going to switch the order around a little bit and do the Inside Broadway segment first. So I'm going to share some of that with you, and hopefully in that time we'll get a phone call and roll right into some more Isa / Sibbery. Anywho, on this edition of Inside Broadway, we begin with Spamalot news. Spamalot's getting a new actor, Brad Oscar. You can tell it's kind of a slow news week on Broadway when Brad Oscar is the lead item. But, you know, it's the middle of December, and so all the producers are away. They're in Florida. They're not really paying much attention. And so not much starts to happen until mid-January, and then everything really cooks up and starts to boil. But we've got Brad Oscar coming in December 18th as Sir Bedivere. He also plays Dennis's mother and Concord, the one who slams the coconuts together. And so he'll be coming in. Now, if you know of Brad Oscar, he was one of the more visible replacements in the producers after Nathan Lane left. As a matter of fact, when my wife and I were in Las Vegas and we went to see the producers there, we saw him as Max Bialystock. So now he's still doing weird, crazy comedy on Broadway. He's going into Spamalot this week. And the other Spamalot news is that in the middle of January, Clay Aiken is going to be in Spamalot as well, so that should be kind of interesting. Also in Broadway news, go figure that it's a slow Broadway news week, and I'm trying to kill time at the same time. This is a deadly combination, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to do some very, very long theater reviews tonight. But we have casting news on Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, a play that really hasn't lacked for revivals on Broadway. I mean, since I've been going to the theater, we've had a couple of them, including one with Charles Durning playing Big Daddy, and then there was one, maybe it was the same one, with Ashley Judd playing Maggie the Cat. And then there's one before that. I mean, it's, for some reason, it's a very, very popular Tennessee Williams play to revive. So they're doing it again. And, well, pun intended, this one is going to be a black cat, because Debbie Allen of fame, is going to be directing this Cat on a Hot Tin Roof starting in March 2008, so it'll be right in the middle of the spring season. And listen to the cast, ladies and gentlemen. Felicia Rashad, from The Cosby Show. And also, right now, audiences are seeing Felicia in Lincoln Center Cymbeline. She actually, unfortunately, got, like, the only bad reviews in the entire show. She's playing a really kind of wicked character, very Wicked Witch of the West and Disney Queenie wicked, and the critics didn't like that so much. But she's done some really fine work on Broadway. I remember seeing her in an August Wilson show, Gem of the Ocean, and she was quite good. So here she's going to be in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, as will Anika Noni Rose. She was one of the actresses in the film of Dreamgirls, and Terrence Howard. I think he was Oscar nominated for Hustle and Flow, and I'm assuming he's playing Brick, and she would be playing Maggie. And the big daddy in this particular production, James Earl Jones. And that's like the big canon that they roll out there. It's like, oh, okay, Felicia Rashad, cool. Anika Noni Rose, Terrence Howard, kind of interesting. All black cast, okay, I get it. And then James Earl Jones is big daddy. I don't know. I think it's time for James Earl Jones actually to be doing Death of a Salesman. That I would really like to see. But we'll see this Cat on a Hot Tin Roof coming this spring on Broadway. And now, moving on to Broadway reviews, we have the new play by Tracy Letts. He's the guy who wrote Killer Joe, and also that weird, weird off-Broadway show Bug that became a William Friedkin movie about a year ago that got some very, very good reviews. Well, this is a total different kettle of fish. This is a family play. No, God, no, let me not phrase it that way. It's certainly not what you would bring your family to, as it were, you know, the kids, granny, and all that. No, this is a play about a family that's as dysfunctional as families can get, especially on Broadway. The play is called August Osage County, and it's a huge hit in Chicago. So big, in fact, and so well-received every which way but loose that they brought in the play, and they brought in virtually the whole Chicago cast to do it on Broadway, lock, stock, and barrel. And one of the play's claims to fame is its length. It's a new play, and it's about 3.5 hours long. Now, that automatically kind of gives it some level of, oh my gosh, you know, there it is, this big mammoth thing. And, you know, that is kind of important because it needs that length to give it the weight and the scope. They've got a lot of characters up there. It's all about this family, duh, in middle America. And the father is kind of this old dude, not in the best of health, but still seemingly of good mind, and he's married to a woman who is basically blitzed out on drugs. And then people have compared the play to Long Day's Journey Into Night because it has some connection there. It's this very long play about a family and this couple, and then, you know, children are involved, and also the mother spends a couple of scenes completely blitzed out of her mind on whatever pills she's taking. But the resemblance still sort of ends there. In this particular case, a lot of it is play for laughs, even though it's a mostly serious play. And also, it's a totally different thing, whereas Long Day's Journey Into Night centered on five really miserable characters, or four, actually, plus there's a maid. This one is really about a whole bunch of the extended family, you know, the daughters and their husbands, you know, the boyfriend, they have a maid, too, and upstairs, a young Indian woman who lives upstairs. And Indian, I mean Native American, not the other. Anyway, it's about all of them and the arguments that they're having and the terrible little things that they've done and are doing. One central couple, they seem to be okay, but the husband has been cheating for a while and he doesn't want to be married anymore. And the wife is trying to cope with that and deal with that. Meanwhile, of course, you've got the husband who's getting on in years and he's stuck with his wife who is, you know, spends half her day completely zoned out of her mind. Well, I'm not giving away too much to say that the husband is in the first scene of the play, and he has a very cool monologue, and then we don't see him after that, because he disappears, and then everybody's trying to figure out where he went and what happened, and they don't want to leave the mother alone in this big old house, so the daughters come with their spouses and boyfriends and children, and that's the crux of the play. It's how they all interact in these weird, tragic, very familial circumstances. And if we've all been through holidays and funerals when family's there and it's a particularly heightened time, well, things can be a little nuts and a little crazy and a little tragic, and bad things happen to sort of good, sort of bad people. And it's all pretty darn believable, even if it has been compared on some level to soap opera. And even if I would compare it more to, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, to like an HBO miniseries, where you start watching and you're caught up. And you're caught up with one set of characters, and then it switches to another pair of characters, and for a moment you're like, oh, I don't really care about them as much, but then you get into their stuff too. And of course they're all interrelated as well. So by already the second hour, you're kind of into it, and there's this big old awful scene at the dinner table where just everybody's behaving really horribly, and it's funny and awful and you're cringing. And it was a little tough, I have to say, because of the way it was staged. That scene was played all the way on the opposite end of the stage where I was seated, and also the way they've arranged it, since there's a lot of people around the table, you are looking at about three people's backs while you're watching it, and other people's sides and fronts. So you are missing some things depending on where you sit, but that's quite a scene. And then one of the nice things about the play is that the third act doesn't let you down. It's not like, okay, you get through act one, and then act two has all this juice, and then you just got to tie up all these loose ends in act three, and then you go home. They really, they juice it up, and the play really knows where it's going in the third act, and it's just as good or actually a little better than the other two. So you really feel at the end of 3.5 hours, it's like, oh, you know, wasn't too long, really wasn't. Not too short either. I don't know how much longer I really would have wanted to sit there with all these people. But it just felt really full. And am I saying it should be the Pulitzer-winning play of the year, or the Tony Award-winning best play of 2007/8? Not sure. Not sure that I feel so convinced that, oh, greatest thing since sliced bread, and this is the next O'Neill, and boy, oh boy, isn't this profound and wonderful. I think it's missing the profundity. It has the drama, certainly. It has terrific dialogue, funny dialogue, and real characters that are very flawed and you can get into. Anything more than that, I reserve judgment. I maybe want to see it again or give it a couple of years to look at it again and just see, well, was it the newness and the characters that I got into, or is it really kind of deep and really special, and we'll be studying this play in years to come? I don't know. I'm still kind of hedging my bets with the Tom Stoppard play Rock and Roll for all that. And I usually hate Stoppard, so that's saying something. But do I recommend August Osage County? Absolutely. Absolutely, go see it. And there's a reason they brought the Chicago cast to New York. There's some terrific acting up there. Among others, the father of the playwright is in the play. Tracy Letts' dad is, I don't have his name here, but he's quite good, even though he's only in one scene. But some of the real acting honors go to Amy Morton as the woman who's in the midst of a divorce or separation with her husband, and then also coping with the absence, the missingness of her father, and wow, it's a hell of a performance that she gives. The mother's good. There's an actress that I have never liked in this play. Her name is Sally Murphy, and I've seen her in everything from like Carousel to some other off-Broadway plays and stuff, and I found her irritating, and her voice bothered me, and I didn't believe her. She's good here. That's how good this cast is, and how they all really work together so well. And I like some of the quote-unquote smaller performers, even though everybody gets quite a lot of stage time. So there's Francis Guinan, who plays kind of a well-meaning, quieter man in the bunch, and he's married to a rather difficult lady. And Jeff Perry is really, really good as the dad, who is trying to be like the nice, good guy in all of this, except he's also having an affair and ditching his wife. So it's all there. And absolutely worth seeing on Broadway, August, Osage County. Also, wanted to review an off-Broadway show this week on Inside Broadway, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. And that show is called Pump Girl. And I know it sounds kind of filthy, but it's This is one of those plays, and you don't get that many of them, and I'm kind of happy about that, because they have three people on stage, and they're all doing monologues, and they're all telling parts of the same story, but they never actually talk to each other. It's a very specific, difficult kind of theater to pull off, and also, at some level, to sit through, because you're always sort of hoping they'll turn to each other and interact and have an argument or have some kind of reconciliation or something, and that never happens. They're never supposed to. It's always going to be one person talking for a bit, then the next, and the story builds that way. Now, as it happens, Pump Girl is pretty well done for what that is, and I think the litmus test or the gold standard for that kind of play would be Faith Healer by Brian Friel. I don't know if you got to see that in the last Broadway revival or some of the recent ones that they've done. It's a pretty great play, and that tells its story of this faith-healing sort of charlatan, sort of almost real faith healer on the outskirts of Ireland, and his long-suffering wife and their manager, and nobody talks to each other in that play, but boy, the story that they construct and the way that he has his downfall is really gripping theater, even though it's 2.5 hours long of monologues. Well, Pump Girl is 2 hours long, and that's a little longish for this one, but it's a pretty good gripping story, albeit familiar. It has to do with this guy who drives race cars on his days off, and he seems like this nice, happy, cheery kind of Irish bloke, a little bit of the old school of knocking heads about and being something of a bully, but a nice bully, if that makes any sense at all. And he's married, and they've got kids, and they have a terrible marriage, and it's been terrible for years, and the wife basically hates him, and he's kind of, you know, doesn't even know what to do with her and is bored with her. And he has a real nice relationship. It's an affair, but it's more of a friendship with sex than just an affair with this young woman who's, you would figure is almost a lesbian, the way she dresses, the way she is. But no, she's not. She just dresses that way. She's a pump girl. She works at the local garage and gas station. And so they've been having this really, really sweet kind of relationship for a long time. And that's okay, sort of. And then the wife embarks on an affair with a guy who isn't on stage. He's kind of a third character who is the evil character in the bunch, even though they all do some, well, two of them do some pretty awful things. So, and that evil character figures in the downfall and the tragedy that befalls all of them. I mean, if you wanted to put a theme to the play, it's a very simple old theme. It's the wages of sin is death. So, bad things happen, two characters do bad things, and they suffer really, really horrible consequences from it, including violence, and I'm not going to get into all that. And the problem, I guess, is that's the story, and you do really know where it's going by intermission. You just know, okay, bad thing going to happen, it's going to be like a world according to Garp sort of collision somewhere towards the end. It's exactly what happens, and the reason they keep watching is because of the dialogue and the acting, and that, quite honestly, does keep it going. So, for that reason, I will moderately recommend Pump Girl, because it is well-written and pretty funny, and the language is very flavorful, and you've got some three good actors doing their best to really make the material come alive, because it is a story that will keep you, for the most part, throughout. I do think they could cut about 15-20 minutes, but when you've got Geraldine Hughes and Paul Sparks and Hannah Cabell on stage as the performers telling this really unfortunate and fairly familiar story, it is kind of worth it. It's at Manhattan Theater Club's Second Space. It's a small theater, and you do want to get there pretty early if you can, because it's general admission in that theater. So if you get there early enough, you get to see it from the front. If not, you kind of have to watch it from the sides. It's one of those weird theaters, which is a three-quarter space. And I've enjoyed plays there, and invariably I'm never early. I'm on time, but I'm never, like, to the theater half an hour early, unless it's by accident. So I'm always, like, all the way off to the side and kind of sitting to myself, which I kind of like, but at the same time, I'm always staring at the actors in profile, which I still get the gist of the play and get into it, but I wonder if from the front I would just get a little bit more and really get more into it than I do from the side. Just a word to the wise, if you're going to go see Pump Girl at Manhattan Theater Club, they're in City Center, and now that's off-Broadway, but I like to still consider it inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Well, I'd like somebody to dial a number for me. That's Jane Sibbery there. Everything reminds me of my dog. Well, I've been dialing Jane Sibbery's number, a.k.a. Issa, well, formerly Jane Sibbery, now Issa, and, well, I get her cell phone. It's definitely her cell phone, but no her. This is why I do not like to plan live interviews, ladies and gentlemen. This is why there's a little thing in my stomach that always says, no, do it pre-taped if you can. Just do it the week before, 2 weeks before, get it on tape, and then if it doesn't happen, you have a contingency plan and something else to do. But, you know, I couldn't. The Jane Sibbery is a pretty major artist, and she was doing some gigs today, and she was going to be on the road, so she would have been calling from, like, some van where someone else would be driving, and she'd be literally in the van on a cell phone talking. But that has not apparently didn't work out or something. Nobody's bothered to call and tell me. Nobody has given me word one about what's happening. So I've got about 20 minutes to fill on Dave's Gone By here. I can play more Jane Sibbery music or not, since I'm kind of angry. But here's what I invite all of you to do. All the folks listening, and I think this might be kind of fun. Knowing what you might about her and what I've said, not so, I didn't really give much of an introduction early in the show, but if you were listening in the pre-show in the Little Big Time about her lifestyle and the fact that she auctioned off all her possessions and changed her name and stuff, I'm inviting you to call in, whoever you are, wherever you are, at 631-888-8811, area code 631-888-8811, and you can be Issa. I'll interview you. Now, you don't have to know a damn thing about her. You don't have to be anything like her. You don't have to know any of her songs, although I've just played two of them. You don't have to know any of the albums that she's made or the lifestyle change or any of that or about her record company and the fact that she, the whole pricing thing where none of that. I don't care who you are, what color you are, what sex you are, what age you are. Anybody who calls in, feel free to make Issa whoever or whatever you want it to be. So I'll interview you, and you just have to make believe that you are this mythological person named Issa. Don't force me to interview her myself, because it'll just be, you know, if I start playing her and asking her the questions back and forth playing me, it might be kind of funny, but it would get kind of mean towards the end because of the mood I'm in. So much, much better if it's more playful, and you guys call in to the radio station, the Dave's Gone By, 631-888-8811. And I will ask you questions, and you can answer those questions in any way you please, but remembering that you're not you, you are this singer-songwriter who gave away all her stuff to be a painter and a singer in a sort of hippie-ish new way, new age kind of way. I see I've frightened off everybody listening. Come on, folks. Don't be shy. 631-888-8811. This is your chance. Didn't we all dream at one point of being super... Well, God knows she's no superstar, but didn't we all at some point want to be whoever? Want to be Charlie Chaplin? Want to be Bob Dylan? Want to be that big rock star on the stage? Or the Tracy Chapman kind of folk singer with a guitar on the stage? Just to fantasize to be them, to have the fame, to have the attention, the spotlight, and to be on a chat show and be interviewed. Well, this is your chance, ladies and gentlemen. 631-888-8811 is the phone number at Dave's Gone By. You get to be Issa for just a few minutes. Think about it. Think about what that means. Actually, it means very, very little. It's not like I'm giving you the chance to be Neil Young, ladies and gentlemen. That'd be pretty cool. But, no, we didn't really plan for Neil Young to be here tonight. That'd be pretty great. Nope. So, come on, folks. 631-888-8811. You're going to force me to be Issa and interview myself. That's going to be torturous. Torturous with an R. Yes, it will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to count to 10, and then I'm going to start interviewing myself as Issa. We'll see how that goes. Shall I count backwards from 10 or upwards from 1? I'll do it sort of in the middle and meet at 5. 10, 1, 9, 2, 8, 3. Oh, we have a phone call. Thank God. Thank God in heaven. We have a phone call. WGBB, Dave's Gone By. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? Oh, hello? Is this Issa?
Yes.
Oh, Issa, so good to talk to you. How are you? Why are you so late in calling the radio show?
Because I changed my name now to New Issa.
Oh, you're New Issa.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. See, there was a point when you were Left Issa, and then you tried North Issa, which was kind of okay for a little bit. And then you were Issa Centra, which was kind of okay. And then Jacob Esau, which was... But I like New Issa. This is kind of a nice... How long are you going to stick with that one?
Well, until I change my name to Aesop's Fable.
There we go. Very nicely done. So how is life on the road? How is touring?
It's very difficult. I have so many, you know, groupies.
You have groupies?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, you're you know, I can understand you were kind of hot like 20 years ago, but you're kind of not a terribly attractive looking woman at this point. How do you get groupies?
Have you looked in the mirror, Mr. Lefkowitz?
Well, what, I'm not saying. Well, first of all, I'm in pretty. Hey. I'm supposed to be the one who's sarcastic and angry right now.
When's the last time you've seen a treadmill?
Issa, you're in rare form tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, I've seen some pictures of you recently. You're looking like a little like Boy George crossed with Divine. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
No, those were images of your co-host, Jeff Goodman in Thailand.
Oh, now, let's not make fun of Jeff. First of all, he's not here to defend himself. And second of all, he's generally here. He's late, but he's here, you know. So let's at least give him some credit there. So, Issa, when you start to write a song,
mm-hmm.
what goes through your mind?
Usually nothing.
Yeah, I'm beginning to get that. Mm-hmm.
I try to channel some, you know, ancient spirits.
You mean like Glenn Livett and single malt scotch whiskey?
No, like I believe in Rumi and Reiki.
Rumi and Reiki?
Yes.
You know, they were my roommates at NYU. Well, I called one Rumi. That wasn't his name. He was my Rumi. And then Reiki. Which, I had a leave. I left there because, you know, you Reiki leaves. That was terrible.
I thought at NYU you lived with a very materialistic man who had bad karma.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Well, pretty much everybody I know is materialistic and has bad karma, starting with myself. That's the thing. You gave up your possessions. You auctioned off all your worldly possessions. Why the hell did you do that?
Because they're just confining. Material possessions can weigh you down.
Well, yeah, but how do you get along, you know, living out of a suitcase?
Well, you learn to travel light.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, wash your clothing a lot in the sink.
Yeah, or in the toilet, be that as it may, depending on what's available to you.
So. No, we don't do the David Lefkowitz method.
Yeah, well, hey, look. You know, when you flush a toilet, okay, that should be clean water coming up. So what's the harm? I mean, I'm not saying once when you go, you should wash your hands, you should wash your clothing. But if you flush the stuff down, what's coming up? Isn't it the same water that's in the sink?
Listen, wherever you do your dishes is fine by you, but I prefer to have some hygiene practices. I gave up material possessions, not, you know, antibiotics and...
I always wondered if you filled... I don't know why I'm thinking this now. I know I haven't always wondered this. I'm just wondering this now.
Yeah.
But if you fill a toilet bowl with oil instead of the water,
uh-huh.
and you had a Bunsen burner,
why would you do that?
So you could fry things in your toilet.
You mean like a turkey for
yeah.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah, well, a small one, because, you know, toilets are not that whatever. But or like a chicken leg.
Why would you want to cook in your toilet?
I know, for effect. I think it would be rather kind of an amazing thing, like everybody on a holiday, instead of, you know, crowding around the kitchen or the dining room, everybody goes, you know, to the bathroom, and they all crowd around on little folding chairs, and then they watch, you know, you have to have goggles on because the spatter is going to be unbelievable unless you put the lid down. And you can fry like a nice chicken leg in your bowl.
Mr. Lefkowitz?
Yes.
Have you been drinking again?
I'm going to start after tonight's episode. I know I'm going to start. You don't think that's a good idea, though?
I would say no.
All right. I think it has possibilities.
Although it will bring lovely firemen to your home, which are beautiful.
Well, there wouldn't be a fire, it'd be smoke. I mean, if you know what? If there's a fire, well, you just flush.
You can't flush because it would be shooting up from your toilet.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
That's very bad chi.
Well, you'd probably take the curtains off the windows before you try this. I would like to be I would love to have, like, a holiday toilet fry. Instead of a fish fry, you just invite everybody. You have, like, raw clams and oysters and breading and stuff, and you have a good old-fashioned toilet fry.
And you wonder why you live alone.
What do you mean? Why do I live alone? Oh, well, you know, half the week I do. That's right. Hey, I didn't get to ask. And I don't mean, there's been, you are something, mm-hmm. Issa, of mm-hmm. a kind of a lesbian icon.
New Issa,
forgive me, right? New Issa, of a lesbo icon.
Thank
even though
you.
Nobody knows if you're straight or you're very closed about that side of your life. So what are you? Are you,
well, let's put it this way, Mr. Lefkowitz. What is your sexuality?
My sexuality is what we would call straight. It's like, boom, like girls.
And
that's
you feel
it.
Comfortable talking about the intimate details of your life on the air?
Ask away. At this point, I've got 10 minutes to kill. I'll talk about anything. So, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not asking for the intimate details. I just want to know, are you a weenie licker or a carpet muncher?
That's very insulting.
Yes.
I believe that we are all children of a universal force.
Yeah.
And that whoever I'm drawn to and is drawn to me is okay.
That's very cool.
And that we should not look at the body form, but the spirit.
Well, that's because people have stopped looking at your body form 10 years ago, let me tell you. No, I'm sorry, that's mean.
Again, one must look in the mirror
before
one casts aspersion to others.
Excuse me, I think I look halfway decent in the mirror. I'm not saying, you know, I'm buff or anything like that.
You would look good if you're perhaps in your first trimester of pregnancy. I hate to put out the negative energy, but it must be done.
You know, I once got in trouble at a radio station for calling someone the B word.
Oh, do not speak it.
I'm getting there. I'm starting to build up that steam.
Okay, let's do a meditation exercise. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Breathe in deeply. Now hold your breath.
Okay.
Very good. And do you feel better?
How long were you going to let me do that?
For a few seconds.
Oh, you weren't going to let it go for about 3.5 minutes, were you? That was nice of you. Well, so do you...
Okay, now I'd like you to repeat after me, and we're going to do some chanting.
Okay.
Owa. Tafu.
Tafu.
I am.
No, you blew the joke. You blew the joke, Lisa. It's not Owa Tafu I am. Owa Tafu Liam.
I am.
Owa Tafu I am is not... It doesn't connect to the sentence.
That's because you are a fool. And you do not feel the universal flow of Mother Earth.
No, I certainly don't. Certainly don't. I'm so misogynistic at this point. I think Father Time is more my friend these days.
You have no friends. You walk alone.
I do.
Even your footprints and shadow have left you.
Oh, my. Why are you being so mean? You're the one who was supposed to call in at, like, you know, 11 o'clock. Or I was supposed to call you at 11 o'clock.
That was my former self. I am no longer that former self.
So in other words, when I called Issa was gone and became New Issa.
And now I am the artist formerly known as New Issa.
Oh, you've changed your name again.
Yes.
What's your name now?
I have no name.
Oh, you're like, are you a symbol like Prince was?
I'm a symbol.
Are you a symbol or the whole actual drum set? Thank you. Thank you very much. This is going so much better than I thought it was. So as much as I loathe and despise you at the moment for not calling in.
Yes.
This is wonderful. I thank you for sort of calling in.
You're welcome, you poor, confused man.
Now, let me ask you, one of the things that you did before Radiohead
did,
although Radiohead got all the credit,
mm-hmm.
was putting all your newer music on the internet for downloads and then letting people pay what they wanted to, you know, making that kind of pricing. Has that worked out for you?
Not really.
Oh, why not?
Because I ain't got no money.
Oh, that's you're living out of a suitcase. What am I saying?
Let's put it this way. People are cheap, and living in a capitalist society, if they can get it for free, they ain't going to pay.
Well, yeah. Although I have read interviews with old Issa.
One of my prior selves.
One of your prior selves.
Please do not bring that up.
Well, I was just going to say that you had said that they were actually more generous than you thought, and sometimes overpaid, and you were actually making more than the suggested price on your songs.
Yes, although there were a few good people, but let's put it this way. Mankind is not nice.
No. At this point, I won't pay 2 goddamn cents for your songs. But anywho, well, maybe 3 cents for one or two of them. But that's me just putting my 3 cents in. Anywho, so we're going to wind up our conversation with new Issa here on... formerly known as Jane Sibbery, formerly known as Issa, formerly known as new Issa, and now just... Splotch. Can I call you Splotch?
You can call me Splotchy.
Sesplotch. Splotchy. Yes. I like that. Little Splotchy. So what kind of music are you working on now? Are you going in a new direction or the same old, tired, kind of whiny voiced little girl voice crappy folk music direction?
If you take David Glass.
Who? Oh, David Glass. I mean, Philip Glass.
Philip Glass, thank you.
Yeah. Figures you don't even know your musicians. Okay.
And you would marry him with Bjork.
Ooh, there's...
And Yoko Ono?
Yeah.
I admire her screeching style.
Well, there you go.
And a little bit of Shuby Taylor.
Shuby Taylor! Oh, my God!
And that singer from Thailand called Little Jimmy something. I don't know his name.
Oh, what is his name? He's good. It's, he sings like a frog.
I'm combining them all...
Joey Boy.
With some guttural throat singing.
Uh-huh.
And some gargling. And also, I don't know, maybe some music from some fight scenes of some films.
Can you... You know I'm going to have to ask this now. Can you give us a little sample?
Well, you know, I sent you the demo. Could you please me with your singing style of it?
Of the demo? Okay. Let me just... I think I've got it on the on iTunes here.
You could do it. I know that you listened to it.
Hold on. I'm just going to click this little button. Oh, no,
you know, that's my commercial for the new iPod.
Really, has anybody bought one? Or
no, I think Mac has now banned me from mentioning them in any related phone interviews.
People buy them just to hit them with hammers. When they hear that kind of music of yours, that's you know, I can't say.
Hold on, I would like to play something for you.
Oh, please do.
From my album. Hold on one second.
Yes, yes.
I have to get to my machine where that makes the music.
We're talking to new. Oh no, the formerly known as New Issa, now known as Splotchy.
Oh boy.
Oh please.
It's so difficult to find. Now I had a friend help me with this because I had difficulty doing it myself.
Okay.
Because you know sometimes we don't know the words to the things we see. I'm going to play some. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I'm holding. I'm keeping my fingers and my legs
ready?
Crossed. Yes.
Can you hear it? My
yes,
friend is going to start speaking.
Sounds nice.
My friend will start speaking soon.
Okay.
I don't know. He's not there.
Try track 2.
Relax.
Oh, good God.
Get comfortable. Use whatever position makes it easier for you to relax.
Doggy style.
You like it?
Well, yeah, you have a very deep voice. That's kind of a... Have you been doing really deep breathing exercises to get that voice down there? Like,
I was just channeling an ancient male spirit.
Oh.
Relax.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Get comfortable.
I have to say, the background music is kind of nice. I didn't realize you actually had some talent there.
That wasn't me. That was my friend David Shankar.
Oh, David Shankar. You know, I'm sore at him, because I tend to be Shankar sore. But, you know, I don't know what that means. You're just going to let that joke sit there and die. You're not going to help me out one bit, are you?
No.
Well, Splotchy, so we're going to wrap up this conversation. That has been actually quite fun, I have to say.
Well, thank you very much.
I mean, you know, I was expecting disaster, and you pulled this from the flames of disaster, and God bless you for that.
As is my way, because I'm a child of nature.
A child of... What does that mean?
that means that I was born by nature.
Well, so were we all, assuming, well, actually we were born by a man and a woman doing the hoopty-hoo in the back of a Chevette.
I think you were born in a hospital in Brooklyn.
Yeah, as it happens, that's true. Where were you born?
I was born in a forest near a lake, like a baby Moses in a basket.
Were you? Well, that explains the whole thing. They should have sent you back. Should have covered the whole basket with pitch and just sunk it.
Listen here, Mr. Cranky Pants.
Yes, Mr. Cranky Pants.
Yes.
You know, it's funny. The only other person who calls me that, I'm married to.
Really?
Yeah. She's a lot nicer lady than you, let me tell you. Well, most of the time.
That's not what you say all the time.
I know. Well, wait a minute, Splotchy. How do you know about my relationship with my wife?
Because I can channel the people of nature.
Can you channel, like, dead people and spirits from...
No.
Oh, damn.
I only can communicate to others who are like-minded.
Oh.
And your wife is in my Buddhist chanting group.
No, I don't want my wife in your Buddhist... I don't want my wife or me anywhere near you. I'm near you now, but I...
That's not what you said last evening.
Now, hold on. Now, just a moment. You're not implying... First of all, you're obviously either a closet or a full-on lesbo. I mean, duh.
And like you have not dated one of my sisters. You have dated. You are like the Larry David of the lesbian community. More lesbians know you.
Yeah, you know,
and Rosie O'Donnell and Ellen put together.
Come to think of it, that's, you know. I've got a whole drawer of love letters that just smell like fish. I don't know what that means. Anywho. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 12:01 on this...
Where's gospel? I must sing the praises of some deity.
Well, you know, you did do an album of spirituals called
No,
Hush.
I did not.
Yes, you're one of your former selves.
One of my past lives, which I went through several with you.
Have you already gone past the splotchy stage? Are you into another?
I've passed splotchy.
Yeah, what are you now?
Now I'd like to be known as Ing.
Ing?
Ing.
Ing. What does that represent? Ing
I don't know. It was a name given to me by the universe.
Oh. So why don't we Ing this together? Ing. Ing,
don't be a ding-a-ling, and don't humiliate me.
I think you've done that very well all by yourself. Ing, formerly known as Splotchy, formerly known as New Issa, formerly known as Issa, formerly known as Jane Sibbery.
Thank you. Is this the Old Testament? Is this Jackie Mason? Where am I?
Oh, wait, do we have a new spirit coming through?
Oh, where?
Through you. Are you channeling something at the moment?
No, I had Don Rickles' Jackie Mason moment, but it's gone now.
Oh, it's gone now,
okay. It's just a little agitative.
Now, that would be an interesting album, if you start channeling old Jewish comedians.
Didn't the Mandy Patinkin do it?
Oh, God. Why are you bringing up all my enemies? Why do you do that? Why do you bring up the people, you know, like you now, and Mandy Patinkin and Cindy Sheehan? These are the three enemies of the
Mandy
program.
Well, Mandy Patinkin, I believe, now is a woman.
Oh.
I think he starred in Trans America.
No, it was a woman playing a transvestite. It was that woman from Desperate Housewives who was playing that. I forget her name.
Amy Mann?
No, not Amy Mann. Although she's starting to look a little bit well.
Wait, I'm channeling Amy Mann. Oh, okay, I'm channeling her. Now I would like you to refer to me as Hush, Keep It Down Now, Dental Caries.
Now, that's a very... How are you going to put that name... I was going to say, how are you going to fit that name on a CD? But, of course, you're not putting out CDs anymore. All your work is digital downloads online.
Now it's just in my head. I just will transmit the images and the sound through my brain waves. I don't need the internet. It's repressive.
Wow.
Yes.
And you know, that pretty much will cause cancer pretty soon.
All internet?
Those waves. Well, yeah, the internet, the waves, the brain things... Pretty soon you'll be walking around with a lump in your neck bigger than the one in your belly. I don't know what that means. Ooh,
are
I'm
you
getting
talking about
now.
Yourself in the mirror?
Now. You know. I think we pushed this about as far as it can go. We're getting a little punch drunk here. What's your new name now?
I don't. You can just call me Amy Mann. Or
okay,
Hush, Keep It Down Now, Dental Caries.
Okay. Oh, Hush, Keep It Down Now, Dental Caries. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Do not go to Hush's website for anything, please, because, you know.
Ooh, Hush!
Oh, God.
Keep it down now.
I think I hear the Shuby Taylor in there.
Dental Caries.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been my distinct displeasure to be talking to the artist formerly known as a whole bunch of different people, but is currently Hush Hush Dental Caries or something.
Keep it down now, Keep it down now, Caries. Get it right, man.
Hey, wait a minute. If you've given up all your worldly possessions, right, shouldn't you be more, I don't know, spiritually kind and calm?
Not with a host like you. You bring out the worst in me.
Well, I bring out
it's
the worst in
karma.
Myself. I have horrible karma.
That's right.
I'm like Larry David on acid, for God's sakes. I mean, like, my karma is like karma kills everybody else's karma and
you're
then
like
commits
Larry
suicide.
David's father, who survived the camps.
Oh, they were. That's right. They were both survived. We both saw that episode. My wife and I saw that episode. Anyway.
Your wife, I heard she left with the mailman. No, she left with the delivery man, a young blonde boy, about 21.
Really?
Very studly.
Oh.
Eager to please.
And how would you know, being a dyed-in-the-wool lesbian folk artist with no talent?
She told me telepathically on her journey.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, that's good to know. And did they impart any other message of significance? Oh, gospel has showed up.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Splotchy, a.k.a.
No.
Hush, hush.
Keep it down now.
Voice, something carries.
Yes.
Stay with us for a moment. I've got to do a commercial or two, and then we've got to finally end this episode, this haywire episode.
My new name, Tropical Hot Dog Dave.
Tropical Hot Dog Dave. I kind of like that one. We'll be right back with Tropical Hot Dog Dave at the very end of this program, right after these messages. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, pick up the copy of Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World by going to davesgoneby.org. That's also the website where you can find out all about this program, about the various episodes we've done, some better, some worse, some stranger than others. Just have to do a couple of outro things before we turn the radio station over to the gospel folks. Want to remind everybody that Shalom Dammit airs every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Woodbury Cable. This is the cable system that most of you have out here.
It's
channel. Oh, there's. I'll get to it in a moment. That's. Hush, hush. Keep it down now. Dental Caries on the phone for. Have you still kept that name, huh?
No.
Oh, okay. What's your new name?
Pugsley.
Pugsley. That's much, much easier. Pugsley, I need you to be quiet for a moment, though, because I need to get through these and get gospel on the air. So if it's possible, I kind of wish you'd be quiet when you sing, but certainly I need you to be quiet now. Shalom Dammit, every Wednesday morning at 7:30 on Channel... be nice. Channel 20.
Okay.
You can also watch it on YouTube.
Blah, blah.
Anytime at all. On YouTube.com.
Blah, blah.
Look for Shalom Dammit. And don't forget on... Now you're sounding like Jeff. On Friday mornings, it's Dave's Gone By on TV, 7:30 a.m., Channel 20 on Woodbury, Long Island Cable.
Jeff Goodman is getting married in Thailand.
He is.
I'm channeling it. Ooh, yes.
I'm just going to have to turn down Little Pugsley's mic for just a moment to remind everybody that you can listen to 25 vintage episodes of Dave's Gone By anytime, night or day, for free on theaterpod.com. That's theater, pod.com. Again, you can zip through them, and it's all free 24/7, theaterpod.com. Reminding you also to listen to Filler Up. It's a half hour of music, Saturday nights at 5:30, and it's different every time. I choose a half hour of music for you all to listen to, grouped around a certain theme. It's kind of, pardon me, kind of fun. Saturdays, 5:30 on WGBB. Thank you to our sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway, where Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off every job. Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway. No job, too big or small, not 10% off, much more than 10% off. You get off about $80 for an annual subscription to Performing Arts Insider. MortgagesRock.com, which is the place to find out how you can get loans, financing for your projects, for your kids' college education, for refinancing your house, or buying a house, or learning how to do that for other people and getting the commission. MortgagesRock.com. And finally, Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229 for all your party decorating needs, 797-3229. If you want to write to me, it's Dave's Gone By at AOL.com. D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, Gone By at AOL.com. I want to thank so much to Pugsley a.k.a. all those other things. Thank you so much. Do you have any last words for us, Pugs?
Mazel tov to Jeff Goodman and his new bride.
Thank you so much, Pugs. I want to thank also my beloved and darling and amazing wife, Joyce, for putting up with a whole bunch of stuff, including this program, and more than you'll ever know. Was going to thank Carla at Fleming Artists, but I'm certainly not at the moment. But I will thank David Hinckley once more. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that mention in the Daily News yesterday for our 250th episode. Next week, I've got someone with my last name coming on this program.
Your father?
Nope, not a relative. A performance artist, a monologist, who is getting a real name in those circles and something of a talent. His name is Josh Lefkowitz, and he's going to be my guest next week in the neighborhood. I know that this one will happen, so don't miss it on December 23rd for the next episode, next Sunday, December 23rd, 2007, the 252nd episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz wishing you a good night. Remember that love is everything, and Issa is nothing, and gone by. Whoops.
Channel something else, quickly.
Yeah. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Maybe it was to learn how to love. Maybe it was to learn how to leave. Maybe it was for the games we play. Maybe it was to learn how to choose. Maybe it was to learn how to lose. Or maybe it was for the love we made. Or love is everything they say. Chickening out. You're playing on the beach like an old tin drum. I can't wait to make the hole.